The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, there is no crew today. It's Frank Bassett joining you. Tim Matthews is unavailable this morning. He's probably busy at Trinity Oaks playing golf, knowing Tim, in Dallas, Texas. But we are here live at the Tour Championship, East Lake Golf Club in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, where it's in the 90s. The humidity is in the 80s and 90s. And the Bermuda is about 8 to 10 feet, it seems, with some of the shots we've watched this week. It's playing pretty tough out there. But with the top 30 players, they're playing pretty doggone good. 7-under leads the tournament right now with Justin Thomas. My goodness, imagine that. Sitting at the top of the leaderboard, Paul Casey at 7, and Webb Simpson, surprise, at 7-under. Wow, our good friend Jordan Spieth is tied for 15th at 3-under par. And, of course, a lot of people are pulling for Jordan Spieth. And one of those people that likes Jordan Spieth but also likes Justin Thomas is with me this morning, the senior writer from Global Golf Post and my good friend Steve Eubanks. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have some talent on this show for a change.
That's nice to hear.
I mean, geez, I'm having to hold down the fort. I need Tim, the professional CBS broadcaster here. But so, Steve, tell me what's going on with you. I mean, first, let's get into something very quickly. Your daughter's a pretty doggone good golfer.
She's not bad.
How's she doing?
She's doing real well this summer. She's hitting it farther than I am. So, but that, you know, that doesn't take much these days. But she is really pounding it out there and playing fairly well. So
great.
She's just started her junior year in high school, and so college coaches are now banging at our doors. So
that's a good thing.
Kind of nice to have. It's a good problem to have.
So. It's a great problem, and there's some golf scholarships out there for ladies too. So that. Mom and Dad are always happy with those.
We're very pleased.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very pleased, yes.
Well, Steve, let's get to it. I mean, you've been covering a lot of golf for a lot of years, and honestly, not just because you're here, but I love your writing. You do a great job, but I also like your commentary.
Well, thank you.
So let's jump into the meat of this thing. The de facto player of the year is sitting at the top of the leaderboard, at least the de facto player of the year in a lot of people's minds.
He would have been. He certainly was player of the year if the season had ended prior to these playoffs. There's no doubt about it. I mean, look, and even prior to this week, I think everyone would have said, oh, yeah, if you had to vote for player of the year on Monday of Tour Championship week, Justin Thomas has got it. So, but it was still up in the air. I mean, Jordan Spieth, I think he came in here with the understanding that that if I win this event, if I win the FedEx Cup, that really puts me a top player of the year race. And I think he's right on that front. So I think these guys had a lot more on the line than just the big payoff at the end of this thing. So.
Well, this golf course is playing pretty tough. I mean, I know the scores at 7-under after 2 days, people don't think it is, but it is playing pretty difficult. There's just some, great play going on out there to navigate this place.
You know, this is always one of the greatest tests to finish, and it's because it's a classic old golf course. The players love it. The Bermuda greens tend to firm up this time of year, so it's wonderful in that respect. And you can get the Bermuda rough as high and as hard as you want it. And they do have it pretty high this year, and it can get very nasty around these greens, especially. So that's one of the reasons you're looking at, you know, a 7-under leading score right now, and it may be no more than 9 or 10, you know, on Sunday.
Well, they're certainly going to set up, and we looked at the pin placements this morning. It's set up pretty tough today. It's not a typical Saturday gettable.
Right. Now, this is an event where you don't want 20, 21 under winning. This is one of those 9, 10, 11 under par golf tournaments. And I think that the tour has done a magnificent job, and the people at East Lake, of getting this golf course where it's right in that magic zone, where they can have that. You know, it's great golf. It's wonderful golf. It's golf you enjoy seeing. It's not, you know, let's go out and birdie every hole kind of golf.
So, well, interestingly enough, yesterday, I spent some time out at the practice putting green and the practice bunker and watched every player and their caddies have their caddies drop balls into that thick Bermuda rough right around the green so that they could practice those flop shots. And it was tough. And they were practicing it from flop shots downhill to a hole.
Sure. That's you're going to have a lot of that.
Yeah, out here you do. And they couldn't hold them. I mean, they couldn't hit the ball high enough to hold it. It would just run out 10, 15, 20 feet past the hole every time.
This is one of the golf courses on tour where it looks benign when you go out and walk around it. It looks like, wow, there's not a whole lot here. You know, it's right in front of you. The greens are right there. There's rough, but there's nothing tricky that looks too difficult when you go out here. But you learn very quickly that if you're on the wrong side of the hole, or if you short side yourself, or if you put yourself above some of these hole locations, you're done.
Yeah, boy, it really does look tough. But it's pretty. Another thing that's going on here, let's get away from the golf for just a minute on the course, and let's get to a special little display that's in the clubhouse here honoring Mr. Palmer.
Yep.
And his player, he was the captain as well as a player in that Ryder Cup, and they have a special display in there. Yeah. I noticed, by the way, you walk in with your Arnold Palmer belt on this morning.
Yeah, you know, it was a year ago this week. I remember filing my story late on Sunday night, and as I was getting up to leave, I got a phone call that the King had passed away. So it was one of those things where, you know, Arnold was a friend of mine for many years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, one year later, I miss him more than I thought I was going to. It's just what a fantastic man. And I think the game misses him more than anybody realizes.
I have to agree.
Everybody has their best Arnold story, but everybody has a story. Anybody in this room, anybody on this golf course, anybody who ever ran across him or met him, they all have a wonderful Arnold story, and they're all the same. They're all about what a genuine, fantastic man he was. So it's one of those things that I'm glad the tour is honoring him. I wish more of these young players knew more about him.
Yeah, well, I think that's up to us, and you especially with your platform at Global Golf Post, and us at PGAtour.com, to get that story out there, to honor history. It seems like in this day and time we try to forget a lot about history. We can't select what we forget about. We need to remember it all so we take the good from the bad. And there was no bad in Arnold Palmer.
There was never any bad in Arnold Palmer. And I'll tell you, you know, he always had time for you. Even if it was just to say, hey, I don't have time right now, but I'll get with you a little later on. And
he would do it.
And
yeah.
He would.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things the players today could learn a lot from. There was never with Arnold one of these, hey, what time is it? Oh, just check with my agent.
We do see some of that.
Which
we?
You're getting a lot of that now these days, unfortunately. But with Arnold, it was always, what can I do for you? And even if he was going somewhere, he'd tell you right then. He said, I'm sorry, I'm going somewhere, but I will get with you.
In this day and time, with social media, could Arnold Palmer have been as great as he was, though? I mean, because it seems like the players today have so many distractions that guys my age or your age or Arnold Palmer's age really didn't have back then.
Right.
Now there's just so much on these players, and not to defend or chastise, but there's so much on their shoulders. They're drawn so many different directions. Of course, there was an entourage of golf writers that traveled around with the tour, and Mr. Palmer and Mr. Nicklaus and Mr. Jones and Mr. Hagen and all those guys. They were surrounded too, so maybe the pressure was just different pressure, but the same. I don't know.
There was always a genuineness, though, about Arnold. And yeah, I mean, the game is bigger now. The social media is bigger. The entourage is perhaps bigger. The fan base certainly isn't bigger. I'm going to tell you, if you were around Arnold when he was out there, even after he was no longer competitive, I mean, there were thousands of people who wanted his attention, and somehow they all felt as though he made a connection with them. And that's something that I wish today's players could do a little more. Not just connect with the fans that are right there, but connect with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, connect with the media person. Connect with the volunteer. Make sure you speak. How difficult is it to walk by somebody and say, hey, how you doing?
Not to single that one player out, because there are a lot that do this. One that we know very well is Jordan Spieth and his family we know very well. And he does that. He's really,
terrific.
Really good at that. But another player that does that, and it happened to me this week where he just walked up to me and said, "Mr. Bassett, how are you?" And it was Tony Finau.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Finau is, well, his dad's the same way. The acorn didn't fall far from that tree.
Right.
What a class act he is. Justin Thomas is. A lot of these guys are. And this tournament, to me, is so cool because it is the top 30, but it's so intimate because a lot of the gallery are friends and family of the players.
Sure.
So it's sort of like a homecoming for the tour, end of the year. Let's get ready to reload after a couple of weeks and start again.
This is almost like the East Lake Invitational. I mean, it really is. When you show up out here, you've got 30 players, and you have sort of the same group of fans that come every year. And so everybody sort of gets to know each other.
The same volunteers, the same police are here every year in and year out. They still remember me.
It has become, over the last 20 years, really a wonderful, small, intimate little golf tournament. And I love it. I mean, I think this is one of the best ways to cap off a season.
You know, I'd love to say, if you have a chance and you're in Atlanta, get out to East Lake and get in that clubhouse and look at the trophies, the Bobby Jones memorabilia, the Arnold Palmer, just the golf history that's in this clubhouse. Of course, it is a private club, but if you're, you know, I would think that if you sent a request that you just wanted to come in and see it, that this club's pretty accommodating. They would let you in.
They're very accommodating.
Might not get to play the course.
Right. And I will say this. I mean, I think that East Lake now, with this golf tournament and with all of the things that they have done, they have actually surpassed Augusta National in terms of the Jones, bringing Bobby Jones to the forefront. And when you walk in the front entrance, in front of the front gate right now, the first image you see is a 10x10 of Bobby Jones.
Yeah.
And there are a number of those. You have them superimposed against last year's champion, Rory McIlroy. They really go out of their way to talk about the heritage of Bobby Jones out here. He did play his first and last rounds of golf out here and grew up, learned the game right out here on what is now number one.
First hole in one here.
Yeah.
First time he broke 80, right here.
First time he broke 80 was right here. Exactly. Yep. I mean, this was where he took all of his golf lessons. This is where he practiced. It's where he played his final round of golf. This was his home.
In the movie Bobby Jones, and I'm getting a little off base here, but he and OB go for a ride at the end of the movie in that gorgeous car, the convertible. Now, Augusta's a couple of hours from here, but you know, in the movie when they arrived at his homage to St. Andrews, which he called Augusta?
Mm-hmm.
Their hair wasn't messed up. So obviously they stopped, combed their hair, and then filmed the last scene.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm joined by Steve Eubanks, senior writer with Global Golf Post, one of our favorite publications. So we use it, and I've told your publisher, Jim Nugent, this, and I've told you this, and Ron Green, and the rest of your staff. We use your publication, your digital publication, as research for our show every week. So if I didn't get that Monday in my inbox, Global Golf Post, I'd probably babble a lot more than I babble already about nothing, but it is a great publication. I would insist that all of our listeners tell their friends, too, to go out and subscribe. It's free. It comes to your inbox every Monday morning. And I sound almost as good as Jim Nugent doing that plug, don't I?
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate it. We're glad,
no, it's great.
We're
it's
glad
great.
To know people actually read it. So.
All right, let's get back to East Lake for a minute before we have to get out of here. And I want to talk about one player that came in as number 30. Jason Duffner came in at number 30, I mean, on the number, and he's sitting up on the first page of the leaderboard. How did that happen? He's 500.
You know, this is a classic Duffner golf course because you don't have to bomb it out here. I mean, this is one of those where it's a ball striker's paradise. If you're able to stripe your irons, keep them below the hole, give yourself some uphill putts out here, and are patient, this is the kind of golf course that you'll play well, and Duffner is able to do all of those things. Now, let's hope that he doesn't split his pants again today.
I knew that was going to happen. That's why I brought him up. I knew you'd bring that up. All right, let's go up the leaderboard a little bit, and let's talk briefly about a fellow who's tied for fourth. That's Mr. Rose, our gold medal winner in the Olympics.
Yeah, Justin Rose got a lot to prove. And, boy, you talk about a hungry player who – you know, he's played well and really hasn't gotten, really any of the accolades he deserves for the year that he's had. And I think he is sitting there saying, "Hey, what about me?" Remember me, exactly. I'm a major champion. I'm a gold medal winner. Let's not forget that I'm in the mix here. playing extremely well. He's one shot out of the lead, as you say, going into the weekend. But, as we were talking before, Frank, about really good guys, you're going to have a hard time finding a better guy than Justin Rose.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Just a terrific human being.
He let me wear his medal. He let me wear his medal. I put it around my neck.
How about that?
I've only done that with one other Olympian, and that was, I forgot his name. I'm going blank. The speed skater.
I want to say. Dan Jansen?
No, Uno.
Oh, no.
Right. Anyway, I was here in Atlanta. It was at a function, and he took a picture with me with it on. I said, now can I wear it? And he said, sure, here.
Right. Anton.
Anton.
Yeah.
What a great kid. All right. Got to talk about Webb Simpson. Where did that come from? Well, not a nicer guy out there.
Right.
He did get a little controversial this year at the PGA Championship. His home course, Quail Hollow, Charlotte, North Carolina, Uptown Charlotte, as they call it. Fabulous golf course. One of the most difficult golf courses I've played. I played it a bunch over the years, and it gets tougher every time. My scores have gone up, not down. Every time I play that course, Webb lives on the course, drives his golf cart around the neighborhood, and he made a comment that this course is set up too hard. And now you and I spoke before the show about course setup.
Yeah, Kerry Hague with the PGA of America really gets it right so much more than he gets it wrong. I mean, if you look at the scores, the PGA Championship, and not just the PGA Championship, I mean their Club Professional Championship, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, they have a number in mind as to what they'd like their winning score to be. And Kerry hits it more often than not. It's going in there and setting up a golf course so that it is fair, but that it also showcases the best players in the world. And I think that, look, it's a major. It's supposed to be difficult. It wasn't outrageous in my estimation.
You had
a number of players that were not what you would call your typical bombers, who had a chance of, coming into the last. And it really showcased the drama of our game, which is what you hope to have happen in a major.
So what do you think about Webb? Do you think he can hang? Do you think he has a chance? It's been a while since he's been up that high.
Yeah, I don't know. And the reason I say that is with Webb, it's all about the putting. It's all whether or not he's going to be able to maintain good putting over the course of 4 days. So far, he's usually been able to do it for two, maybe three. He hasn't been able to string four of them together. But let's hope he's able to this week. Because, like you say, another great, great guy.
Oh, yeah. They all are. But, okay, my call is, unless they lock the gates and don't let him in, Justin Thomas is probably going to finish this one.
You know, that's a pretty good call. I like Brooks Koepka and I like John Rahm out here simply because they have shorter. They're going to have more wedge opportunities than a number of the other guys. And anytime you're putting a wedge in these guys' hands, they're likely to hit it close and make more birdies. But other than that, I think Justin Thomas is. You're absolutely right. As good as he has been playing, and as much as he wants to wrap this year up on a positive note, that would be my choice as well.
Okay, so let's go with the old guy in the group. The guy with the black hair that hangs out from under his hat in the back, Pat Perez.
How about Pat?
What is this all about? I talked with him yesterday as he was leaving the course, and he was messing with Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed was on the putting green. He said, hey, Hack, aim further left as he's walking past him. It was hilarious. And Pat's just like, man, I'm just happy to be here. He said, I never thought I would be back in this position.
Yep. He's had one of his better years. And, to be in this position, given the career that he's had, I think he is one of those guys who's just soaking it all in.
He really is.
I never thought I would be here. I'm having a great time here. And, when you're relaxed and you're able to sort of take that attitude, good things normally happen. You don't feel the pressure.
Exactly. And Jordan Spieth, I think, I don't know if Jordan's feeling some pressure, if he's tired. He's not playing the typical Jordan Spieth type golf I've seen.
Jordan just approaches life with such intensity. I think he's worn out.
I think he's tired too.
He even said so earlier in the week at his pre-tournament press conference where he was talking about how he was attempting to pace himself. How he was spending a lot more time with his feet up, not playing, full 18-hole practice rounds, not going out and working on his golf swing as much, spending some time around the greens, and then just resting.
Well, yesterday, though, you say that, I'm out at the practice putting green behind the clubhouse, and up walks Jordan Spieth before the first tee time even goes off, and he's out there working with, on his putting.
Yeah, I mean, he almost can't help it.
Can't help himself.
He can't help himself. He's just a grinder, and he's a hard worker, and he's just an intense human being. So when he gets in that mode, anytime you're approaching something with that level of intensity, it just tends to wear you out.
It does.
And I know he was almost apologizing. He says, I know everybody talks about someone my age shouldn't be talking to me. It's just golf. What are you talking about? But it's not just golf.
No, it's not.
It's the grind that goes into it. It's the mental focus that goes into it. I just think that after an incredibly long season with everything coming down to this final week, he's just tired.
And the media really pitted he and his best friend against each other.
They did. Yeah.
The hype was out of control.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't try to do that on this show. I mean, I don't like to talk too positive or too negative about anybody. I want to be fair when we talk about everybody. Yeah, we have our favorites. We all do. It's usually the people that we're closer to or know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great, great, interesting week. Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Jordan Spieth. Simply, and I say he shouldn't be a dark horse because he came in here number one in the FedEx Coach rankings, but he's minus three right now. He's four back going into the weekend, and there are a lot of really good players playing well that he would have to pass. But I'll tell you, if anyone could do it, given what I have seen from him, particularly this year and what he did at the Open Championship and what he's done throughout the course of the year, I never put anything past him. It's almost like where we were with Tiger when, he was just never out of the mix and you could sense him coming.
Yeah.
I think with Jordan, you're in a position where, yeah, he's four back and you look at the great players who are playing great who are ahead of him and you say, well, he must be out of it. I don't think so. I think he is the person who can mount a charge and have the belief to pull this off.
When's the last time you've done any interview or radio show, and 21 to 22 minutes in, the name Dustin Johnson has not been mentioned?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
We haven't talked about him.
We haven't talked about him, that's right.
And he's, three under par.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, the guy has been the number one ranked player in the world, and
it's Eastlake.
Yeah.
It's Eastlake. There is a lot of pressure. These are the top 30 players for the year. And every single one, down to the last man, number 30, Jason Duffner, who came in, is starving for this championship. This is a huge feather in their cap. It's on par with the Players' Championship, I think, as far as outside of the majors. It's just right there together. So, Steve Eubanks, Global Golf Post, thank you, as always. You're a plethora of knowledge, and I appreciate that. And all the best to you and your family and your daughter and her golf game. And don't be a stranger. Come back on the show.
Thanks, Frank. Enjoy having me.
Thanks, man. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll have some more surprises a little later in the show. There's that music. That means the margarita maker is working, even at Eastlake. Welcome back to Golf Talk America, everybody. We are live at Eastlake Golf Club, the Tour Championship. And with me now is my good buddy, my friend, pal, compadre, the guy who will bail me out if I get arrested in Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Mark Zucchino.
Again.
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 Don't say that. My name, Jose Jimenez.
Now, this is one of four times a year that we get to do this on the road.
Yes.
And we've got the Margaritaville playing in GA in Atlanta here in Georgia.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the reason we haven't gone on the road to one of the Mexico events for the PGA Tour is they'll never let us back in. We are done if they send us to Mexico with the margaritas.
I'll never come back.
That's it.
I'll just stay there.
That's
on the beach.
Right. That's fine.
On the beach,
baby. We put up a hut. We do Golf Talk America and Golf Talk Canada from the beach.
Mark, there you go. I was going to say that. Mark Zucchino is the host of Golf Talk Canada, TSN, and also has a television show in Canada. He's the top golf show, number one golf show in all of Canada. He's also with PGA Tour Radio and PGAtour.com. And with us today before he goes out into 91-degree weather and 91% humidity and gives you the play-by-play from the course on PGA Tour SiriusXM as well as PGAtour.com.
You came this close to convincing me I almost knew what I was talking about with the intro, and then you reminded me of the 91-degree heat without the Humidex, and I am can I sit here with you? Can we just do 7 hours of Golf Talk America
absolutely.
Podcast instead?
Absolutely. I'm sure Dave Logue would really appreciate that.
Mr. Logue would go, what are they talking about now? Really?
Listen, I was with you night before last. We had dinner and then had a couple of adult glasses with grapes in them.
Yes, I'm Italian. We don't even consider those adult.
And I was thinking about you yesterday out there in that heat. Yeah. So poor Mark, you better hydrate.
So it was interesting because yesterday for the first hour of the broadcast, I don't want to call it lollygagging it, but compared to normal, you know, we hustle out there. But for the first hour, as we kind of waited for the story to take shape and the leaders to eventually come to the first tee, there was certainly some lounging in the shade, let's say, behind the first screen. And I said to my, like all PGA Tour events, without the volunteers, forget it. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're right.
I have a great older gentleman with me this week who's my driver. His name's Jack, and he's from the area. And this is his eighth year volunteering at Eastlake. And
Jack was like a former CEO of some company.
Oh, big time.
Yeah,
big
he's
time.
A big time guy.
Yeah, big time.
Not your local plumber.
No, no. But loves golf loves this event and proud of it. Right?
They're
very proud, which is cool. And he, we're sitting there, and I allowed my guard down. I said, you know, it's going to be okay today. It feels like 75, 80. This is going to be manageable.
No way.
Well, within 35 minutes of the lounge, I step out of the shade, and I go with my group to two, and I'm done. I'm cooked already. I was scared to say this to Mr. Logue because I didn't want him to think that I was physically incapable of doing the job. But we're always very aware of our mic position, our breathing. You don't want to come across as some like heavy breathing psycho in the corner doing this broadcast, right? But I could tell early in the broadcast yesterday, this fat Italian kid was sucking wind, okay?
I was
sucking wind, and I could hear myself before calls going, and I'm going, oh, my God. Because I haven't worked in a while, play-by-play. Yeah, I've been working my butt off in Canada.
For people who don't know, and I don't think anybody listening to this show would not know, but you guys are out there hoofing it. You have a cart, but 90% of the time you're running.
Yeah, and catching up and trying to get an angle.
Or whoever's producing. Yeah. Is telling you, okay, 20 feet, and I just made a birdie on 7. Get over to 8.
And as you know.
And you're on 17.
Right. And as you know, I'm also not the tallest guy in the world. Now, in Italy, I'm in the top, I think, 1% of the population height in Italy. But here in North America, not so much. So I got to make sure, like, I've got a vantage point where I'm also not standing on top of the players and interfering with play because my voice tends to carry a little. I don't know.
You need a tuna tower on the golf cart.
I don't know if you noticed that. Frank, that my voice carries a little.
Just a touch. In Memphis, and we won't say what you said, but it was interesting. No, you need a tuna tower. You know, a tuna tower on top of the golf cart.
That's all I need. Yeah. That'd be perfect.
Just hang out up there. Like the Pope coming in.
Like that, or like Robert Shaw and Jaws at the top of the
We need a bigger boat.
Exactly. But yeah, so Mark, I was sucking wind.
Well, you know a lot about golf. You know all the players. You're with them all the time. First name basis type thing. What is that fella sitting in first place, tied for first place, Justin Thomas? Is it in the bag? Is this it?
You know, you can never call it in the bag on the PGA Tour, but you certainly, I don't think, even though I think he's the favorite, hands down, and the reason I think he's the favorite, A, is, you know, 5 wins this year says
big
a lot.
Time, yeah.
But if you look statistically, he's the best ball striker right now as we head into this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, and this is a ball striker's golf course. You do not fake it around here. You can't play from the rough. It's not going to turn into a putting contest. That being said, man, you remember, like, last week at the BMW Championship, it doesn't matter what golf course we go to, we get a runaway leader. And you look at what Justin Rose did to Mark Leishman last week, and you would have thought that would be, if I told you, heading into that Sunday that Rose was going to do what he did, you would have told me that coming down to the last hole. But instead, Leishman still wins by a comfortable margin.
I know.
It's been the last 3 years of the BMW Championship, real comfortable margins. Here it's the complete opposite. So I don't care how good you are near or at the top, we know it's coming down the last 3 holes on Sunday.
Number 30 coming into this tournament, Jason Duffner.
There you go.
Where is he sitting right now?
I know. That's what happens here. At Eastlake, it's the Tour Championship, so first of all, everybody wants it on their resume. And of course, it's the culmination of a season that is a it's a grind.
Oh, it's brutal. Jordan Spieth even said that he was tired.
Yeah.
He said, I'm
tired.
Well,
Hideki Matsuyama, everybody thought he was injured, and his manager or agent came out the other day and says he's exhausted. But it means so much to them now.
Yeah.
You know, not that it didn't mean a lot 11 years ago, but I think we're all trying to figure out what the animal was. We knew that there was a big animal in the room, but no one knew what it was.
Well, it definitely is now.
Now we know what it is, and these guys want it. And they'll fight through it. And that's what we're seeing now. They're fighting through it.
Well, what about the old folks home on the course today? I mean, let's talk about our buddy Pat Perez.
Oh, I love that. For you or me? Pat. Are you kidding me? It must be the hair, man. I wish. I can't grow any. I'm just growing it where I don't want it anymore.
Charlie Hoffman cut his. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, I was worried because Hoffman's played so well. And when Hoff cut his hair, I was worried it was going to be like
Lose his strength?
Yeah. And
it
wasn't.
Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah,
like Hercules,
that's what I thought. Yeah. I went, oh, no, here we go. But no, he's still amazing.
Yeah. This is exciting. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun out there. Patrick Reed sitting up there at the top. The guy, I think, says, hey, did y'all forget about me? He has this little medal that he won sitting up there, Justin Rose. At the top of
just spoke with his caddy on the way over to this media center, and he said they are just thrilled with the ball striking. Worked so hard with the putter Thursday night and Friday morning. If he can just get that putter heated up over the weekend, they really like their chances. You know, something interesting he also said on the way over is I was walking with Mr. Doug Bell, who's part of the crew this
Doug
week,
Bell.
As you know. We all love Doug.
Doug Bell, Will Haskett's with you this
yes,
week, too.
Yeah.
Will's back.
And we were talking about, Doug was referencing the fairways, because fairways are perfect.
And, so is the rough.
Well, this is the thing that I found interesting. That first cut he was mentioning, the first cut is so tall, almost acting like one of those driving range mats we play off in the north in the early part of the season, you know, when we're warming up, right? And he says that it sits up so tall in that first intermediate cut that it gets up so tall that they're fighting hitting the golf ball off the top of the face of the iron. They're not worried about flyers. He goes, flyers, we know when they're coming. He goes, he bit them yesterday on 8. Floater off the top of the face. It was a good golf swing. Nothing out of their control.
30 yards short.
30 yards short. Off the top, couple grooves. And I'm like, and I was actually calling that shot. And at the time, I'm thinking to myself,
He must have missed that.
What is that? That was amazing.
That looked like us.
I go, that's me, right?
But no, it's not you. You're a single-digit handicap.
Oh, yeah.
You a one?
Well,
or
not like that, though.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between a zero handicap at your country club and these boys. I don't know what game they're playing. I think they came out of that spaceship called the Mercedes-Benz Dome over there.
Counted at $1.6 billion that it cost to build it. Yeah, well, the mayor told me it was $1.9
billion. So what I just heard this morning on the way in, you know, is that Jerry Jones' secretary texted me and said they're doing a $400 million renovation of Jerryland.
No, I'm telling you.
He's a little
upset.
He can't handle it.
Well, it's AT&T and Mercedes-Benz. Okay, so they're both sponsors. I'll be nice to both of them.
They're both great companies,
Yeah, they're fabulous companies. I need some help with my Mercedes.
I
broke it.
Not to get off the beaten path here. But, you know, Mrs. Golf Talk Canada, who you know,
Heather. Heather's fabulous.
So she's driving a Benz right now.
Yeah.
And they gave us this, and my lease was coming up, they gave me this crazy discount to put a second Benz in the family. So you're this guy right here next week picking up his new wheels. Actually, 2 weeks.
SL55?
I'm a little lower on the entry level there. I got to head to President's Cup. So when I get home from that. Just in time for Canadian winter. Can't wait.
Oh, God. Hey, you know, our good friend Bill Lombard is going to be up at the President's Cup. Bill owns one of the partners in Azalea Hospitality.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
those guys.
Well, they're the only guys.
They're the best at the Masters.
Yeah.
They're the best. They take great care of us and have a lot of fun at Azalea House. Yeah. I check into Betty Ford every year right after I leave the Masters.
I think next year what we should do at the Azalea House is we just get you a blood transfusion bag that we just hook you
just
up
Just get an IV pole and just
go from there. Now, are you looking forward to next? I know, like, we've got a ton. Like, we're going to hand out, you know, the Tour Championship and the maybe the most important championship prize of the year this weekend. It feels very heavy, the weight in the room. But are you looking forward to next week? I'm
absolutely.
I love that play.
I think that our boys, although we have a stacked team, they say, and we do, I think they're tired. I think they're more tired than the Europeans.
Well, it's match play. Anything can happen. They've done a great job as this, but they're playing as the heavy favorites again. That can sometimes weigh on you when you're tired. But, you know, it's funny. I catch myself in a weird position because you know, we are constantly cheering for the red, white, and blue. I pull for I pull for the U.S. and Ryder Cup hard. I pull for the U.S. hard in the President's Cup. Once every 3-4 years, a Canadian pops up on the international team, and the Zucchino household gets torn. Because, you know, we got to pull for Adam Hadwin, who's going to be playing
for
the
national. That's true.
Yeah, so next week, I will be pulling hard for Adam Hadwin, the individual, and cheering for Team USA.
Now, you have a female that's a Canadian that plays some pretty doggone good
golf. We're
not
supposed to talk about that on the air. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. I'm sorry, Frank.
No, your wife's listening.
I misunderstood the question. You're referring to Brooke Henderson.
I am referring to Brooke Henderson.
Yes, wonderful young lady who just turned 20. Already a major golf champion.
Unbelievable.
A boatload of wins as a professional already. She's the real deal. And I got to tell you, I never thought, you know, after watching what Mike Weir did in 03, watching what Adam Hadwin did this year with the great win in the 59, I never thought in a million years that a 20-year-old girl would stir the golf drink in Canada.
Boy, she has.
Boy,
wow.
Was I wrong.
Yep. She's fabulous.
The good news is I'm used to being wrong, so I was comfortable.
You're
with
never wrong. You'd be great on the air. I love Mark Zucchino when he's on the air doing PGA Tour play-by-play, and I'll be texting him from my living room while I'm listening to it in Nashville if I'm not at the tournament, messing with him.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, you get messed with a lot out there, don't you, on the course? Okay, let's go back to one other thing about this tournament.
Yes.
The last time that you had a winner of the Tour Championship, yet a different winner for the FedEx Cup was...
I'm going to say 09 Tiger Woods with Phil Mickelson. I believe it's happened twice, and it was back-to-back years, 08 Vijay Singh and 09 Tiger Woods. Phil Mickelson won in 09.
You nailed it.
Yeah, they were dueling down the stretch on Sunday, which is rare. We never got to see that
enough. I know.
And I remember it so vividly because it was so rare, and Phil grabbed the Tour Championship, and Tiger grabbed the FedEx Cup. And you know what I loved about it? Because, you know, they were great rivals, and you always heard the
Phil
stories.
Phil said, can I borrow $10 million?
I love the fact that all the post-round, with the trophy presentation and the interviews and all the post-round obligations that are on the champion, they did everything together.
Yeah, that was
pretty
cool.
It was very cool to see those two guys who were the face of golf for 20 years.
My favorite was when Bill Haas in 2011.
Out of the water.
Out of the water.
On what is now number 8.
Now number 8.
Yeah.
When he won it, we're in break, right? We're about to go back to network, and he's standing there, and he turns to Fincham and the guys and says, hey, who won the FedEx Cup? Yeah. And they said, oh, you did, you idiot. You did. He went, are you kidding?
That's
really?
Awesome.
I won it? That was great.
Awesome.
That was great stuff.
Now, I think it was over Hunter Mahan in a playoff, was it not?
It was.
And I've got no notes
Poor
in front
Hunter.
Of me. This
Poor
is
Hunter.
All from my memory, and this is why I can't remember my anniversary.
I'm looking around for my notes.
See, this is why I can't remember my anniversary.
My
head's filled with all this instead.
Hey, that boat don't float. I'm sorry,
honey,
pal.
When's your birthday again? Oh, Bill Haas beat Hunter Mahan in a playoff.
So everybody send Mark Zucchino new clothes, because his are in the front yard right now. Mama's throwing them out, buddy. Mark Zucchino, PGA Tour play-by-play, but also Golf Talk Canada. Check him out. He's also been a co-host of Golf Talk America. We call it a border crossing.
Yeah, the border crossing. It happens once a year when I climb over the northern wall.
There it is. I love what Roy McIlroy said. They said, well, Roy, what do you think about this new tournament down in Mexico City? He said, I guess I'm just going to have to jump the wall. Anyway, Mark Zucchino, thank you
hey,
as always for being
on the
show.
Great to see you in person, Frank.
Good to see you.
It's been too long, and I hope I see you before Christmas. I can't believe we're talking about Christmas, but it is around the corner. Yours truly taking some holidays, so I know we'll talk,
but I may not see you. Europe, Italy?
I'm going to go to Italy for a week, and I'm going to Bandon Dunes, which I've never been to, and I can't. Can't wait, because I didn't play any golf.
You're
gonna
love
year.
It.
Didn't play any golf.
You're gonna
year,
love Bandon.
So, yeah, there's 16 of us. There's 21 rooms in the lodge at Bandon.
We've
got 16 of those rooms. We turned it into a boys'
club.
It's clubhouse.
A fraternity party.
Yeah. I'm worried about the liver on the way out. So.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, everybody, Mark Zucchino,
thanks,
PGA Tour play-by-play. Have fun out there today.
We'll
be back in a couple of minutes with a little more fun here, live from East Lake Golf Club, the Tour Championship 2017 edition. Don't go anywhere. Well, there's that music again, everybody. It's I guess it's time for Margarita. I'm just not sure. Frank Bassett back with you. Absent Tim Matthews today. I mistakenly said earlier today that Tim was playing golf at Forest Oaks or Trinity Forest or Trinity Oaks or whatever I said, but it's Trinity Forest in Dallas, Texas. And great golf course. Tim is actually busy today with another assignment, but we wanted to at least get a little bit of the podcast out to you and some coverage of the Tour Championship from East Lake, where it feels like it's 110 degrees and 100% humidity. It's very, very hot here today, and there's a lot of movement all over that leaderboard. For those of you listening to this podcast, before the end of or the replay tonight, I'm not going to give it away. And for those of you listening to this podcast after, I'm not going to spoil it for you. So I'm just not going to mess with the leaderboard. I don't want to date the show. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's been a lot of fun today, and always is when we're here in Atlanta, Georgia, at East Lake, heading out to some great food tonight, hanging out with some good friends that we get to see every time we come to Atlanta, and love to hang out with all of you. Please follow us at Twitter, at Golf Talk America. Go to Facebook and like us. It's Golf Talk America or Frank Bassett on Facebook. And please listen to us at pgatour.com/podcast. Go out and download the podcast and subscribe to it, and we'd appreciate that. It would help us stay on the air, I hope. Maybe they'll take me off the air now that Tim Matthews is not with me today, and Tim will have the show by himself. I don't know. Anyway, tired, hot, and loving every second of it, East Lake Golf Club, Atlanta, Georgia. My thanks go out to Global Golf Post's Steve Eubanks today for being on the show. And also to my good friend, counterpart, sometime co-host of Golf Talk America, host of Golf Talk Canada, and also out there on the course calling PGA Tour play-by-play on SiriusXM as well as PGATour.com live audio. You can catch the live broadcast free on the Tour's iPad, iPhone, and Android app. So don't hesitate to go out there and check it out. But for the absent Tim Matthews, thanking Steve Eubanks, thanking Mark Zucchino, and everybody out there, thanks for listening to Golf Talk America. And please, don't be strangers. We love every one of you. Stay with us as much as you can. See you soon.